All right, everybody, that was Dennis Ross for you guys listening or watching home, the late Dennis Ross. Always nice to play some of his comedy. All right, enough of the laughter, time to argue. So on her Facebook page, Janine Lee Lake recently posted photographs of racist collectibles. She says she photographed at U.S. Representative Greg Pence's antique mall. The objects included an antique coin bank of black males with very dark skin, oversized red lips and bulging eyeballs, as well as banks of what Collectors Weekly calls one of the most enduring black stereotypes. Mammy, a motherly and overweight black woman who is visibly happy in her subservient position. Lake, a Democrat and an African-American running for Republican Pence's seat in Congress, called out the congressman and his wife, Denise, who runs the mall, for profiting from hate. This, of course, set off a Facebook debate, like everything does. Pence defenders said that if you do not like what is offered, don't frigging shop there. It's history. These items are found in all antique malls, not just the mall you're attacking for political reasons. Be upset with the merchants themselves who are selling such items. They are antique collectibles sold in a free, democratic country where we have freedom of choice. And these items are worth a lot of money and amazingly are highly collectible by black America. Pence is distancing himself from the controversy. As you may know, Congressman Pence is not engaged in the active management of the Exit 76 Antique Mall. Spokesperson Millie Leviathan said of the mall on Interstate 65 at Edinburgh. In a prepared statement, CC to attorney Charlie Spies, who has provided strategic political law counsel at the highest levels in Washington, D.C. for more than two decades, Pence said, Exit 76 Antique Mall is the finest in the Midwest, with more than 600 vendors offering everything from traditional antiques and collectibles to upscale furniture and fine jewelry to primitives, artisan crafts, and trendy mid-century modern accessories. The 72,000 square foot, one-level, climate-controlled building has ample parking, convenient shopping carts and baskets, and numerous rest stations throughout. The Exit 76 Antique Mall is dedicated to providing the best service possible to both our customers and our merchants. What sets us apart from other antique malls is we do not sell anything. We don't compete against our merchants. Exit 76 Antique Mall posts and disseminates and maintains an offensive material policy developed from Amazon, eBay, and Etsy's respective policies that does not allow items that promote or glorify hatred, violence, racial, sexual, or religious intolerance, or promote organizations with such views. On Lakeside, one person commented on Facebook referring to the mall, looks like they're not requiring masks inside either. They clearly don't care about people's immediate safety, so why would they give a damn about racism? All right, I don't know if the two go hand in hand there, but it's Facebook.
Yeah.
It's Facebook, so I guess we're just going to go on a tangent. Anyway, another person who
reported... The liberals.
What? Liberals.
The liberals.
Blame the liberals. Blame the liberals. Another person... Another person who reported he was a frequent visitor to the mall said of the racist memorabilia that after the George Floyd protest broke out, I found these everywhere, most of which were brought out to the front of the booths to make sure they were visible, as if they thought it was funny during the current events. This issue may be fodder for desktop activists on Facebook on both sides, but I'm not sure this will be enough to shock or sway an undecided voter given the degree of separation between Representative Pence and the items and the fact that it is an antique store selling them. Chad Kinsella, an assistant professor of political science at Ball State University, told the Star Press. He noted that Lake has been very active in the recent Black Lives Matter movement, which is part of her campaign, so it makes sense to see if she can tie Representative Pence to something unsavory related to racism to draw a clear distinction between the two, Kinsella went on. However, I'm not sure this is the smoking gun. I would guess that Representative Pence has little to do with the day-to-day operations of the mall. A lot of the politicians like to claim their small business bona fides qualify them for service in Congress, so aspects of the way they run their business are fair game, said Charles Taylor, an associate professor of political science at the university. In today's environment, there's a lot more focus on people's attitudes about racial discrimination. Lake's position on the row after row of offensive objects she saw at Pence's mall is that they were manufactured in the spirit of bigotry and racism and were meant to demean and degrade, not to edify or encourage or enrich, but solely to make mockery of black people, she said in a phone interview. I have not talked to any black person who feels good about it. Yeah, I wouldn't know too many that really feel good about that. You're not going to find too many Jews who love the big nose stereotype. I'm just saying. You know, people don't like that shit. And such items continue to be produced, she said, noting that one of the black dolls she saw was wearing a brand new watermelon dress. Well, you got to wear your Sunday best, I guess. Sometimes known as black memorabilia or black Americana, Lake sees it as plantation collectibles that promote slavery. She says she learned that at least 4 people had complained about racist memorabilia and Confederate flags in Pence's mall to no avail prior to 2018 before he took a seat in Congress. This was brought to our attention by constituents in the 6th District who messaged us about these horrific things they saw, said Lake campaign manager Lori Morgan, referring to why her candidate became involved in the issue. One of the 4 was Margaret Lowe, a Methodist pastor from Greensburg. Lowe says she and her sister complained to the manager of the Edinburgh Mall about racist collectibles and Confederate flag and was told such merchandise sold well and nothing could be done about it. That was 12 years ago, and I haven't been back since, Lowe told the Star Press. In visits prior to that, I had not seen these kind of things, she said, attributing their sudden popularity in 2008 to the election of Barack Obama. In his prepared statement, Pence quoted the mall's offensive material policy as saying, Exit 76 Antique Mall, we intend to promote display and sale of materials that may regarded as offensive materials. Exit 76 Antique Mall does not allow items that promote... Yeah, I read that. Glorify hate. We will also remove items that portray graphic violence or victims of violence unless they have substantial social, artistic, or political value. Per the guidance of this policy, we will perform periodic audits of merchants' booths and cases for potentially offensive materials. Due to the constant change of merchant offerings, a periodic audit will help ensure compliance to this policy. Black memorabilia frequently reflects racist ideas about black people through offensive and dehumanizing characteristics such as male savages or brutes, subservient toms and mammies, sexualized Jezebels, pickaninny children. Most of these feature the same physical traits, very dark skin, oversized red lips, and bulging eyeballs. And this is from Collectors Weekly. But not all black memorabilia is racist. The online antique resources went on in the report. For example, highly valued black memorabilia includes comic books that told the story of Dr. Martin Luther King, newspaper clippings covering Rosa Parks' trial, silver spoons, decorative plates, and ceramic figurines commemorating icons like Frederick Douglass and Malcolm X, signed photographs of Muhammad Ali, original Duke Ellington records, and Jackie Robinson baseball cards. The Jim Crow Museum of Racist Memorabilia at Ferris State University uses objects of intolerance like the ones in Pence's Mall to facilitate discussions about race relations, and racism, says sociologist David Pilgrim, founder of the museum. These objects both reflect and shape attitudes toward African Americans, he told the press. They reduce African Americans to one-dimensional caricatures, dutiful servants, childlike buffoons, and exotic savages. Some people collect racist memorabilia as reminders of the past. However, it is hard to use this justification with these objects because they are all modern reproductions, cheap reproductions, Pilgrim said. More likely, they are collected out of a nostalgic yearning for an imagined past, or they reflect a prejudice against black people, or they represent the owner's way of saying, no one tells me what to do or not to do. I do not tell anyone, politician or otherwise, if they should collect objects that would defame and mock a race of people, but I would ask them, why do you sell, buy, or collect these objects? I've been to a decent amount of antique stores. Actually, Joe and I were in an antique store together several months ago, back when comedy was a thing. We were in several antique stores, actually. We spent quite a bit of time.
We were about three of them?
Yeah, we were in Pennsylvania, New York. You mean the steamroller. I do not recall seeing any of these type of items. Do you?
No, but here's the deal. In some antique stores and some stores, you will see that. It's all the perception. On the examples that they gave, there is Southern Americana, okay? There are some people that do like Southern Americana. They're not going to have a whole section of a house dedicated to it. They're not going to have a whole section of a store dedicated to it. You're going to see one or two items.
But here we saw a lot of items, and what these are not Americana. What these are, according to the story, and we're going to take them all at their word, is these are Chinese knockoffs. So this isn't historical. You can't make the historical argument. Like, if you actually had something from, like, 1910s, 1890s, that's a different conversation. We could say that's a collectible.
Well, it's not, because if you do have people that are fans of Southern Americana, you do get these items, and, you know, if you are offended by it, don't buy it. If you appreciate a Southern Americana, you have it. It's all a matter of perception.
But here's the problem.
That because they're racist.
Here's the problem. This mall has a policy against selling such things. And they've known about it since 2008, they said. So it's hard to distance yourself from it. Then don't have the policy. Then just say the vendors can sell whatever they want, and that's fine. Take it up with the vendor. That, if that's your policy, we can argue about whether that should be it or not.
But if they've been selling those items, and they have been selling, and it's not being purchased by people that like Southern Americana, you know, the whole thing is everybody's perception of things, all right? And it's going to get to the point where if we don't draw the line somewhere, everything is going to be offensive
but these
to
are,
everybody, and you can't do anything.
These are racist. We've talked about so many things that Amazon's had on their website or Walmart's had on their website, and we've all said, yeah, I don't know. I don't know why they have that on their website. This mall, according to Pence, they've taken their policies from Amazon, eBay, and Etsy. That's their policy. So if you're going to have that, and I went on eBay. I did go on eBay yesterday to check out. You can't find any of this shit on eBay. Or they won't sell this stuff because it is a knockoff. Listen, if it was authentic, then I go, all right, I get why it's an antique shop. You know, it's not something I would want in my home, but I get why it has value to somebody and it is an antique. This is just tiny Chinese knockoffs meant to exploit racism. I said it's the same thing with the Jews. No Jew is happy with the big nose stereotype. No black person is happy with the big lips, bulging eyes stereotype. It is meant to dehumanize. It is meant to say that they are different than us. They are monkey-like. It is meant to be insulting. That's what it is.
You know what? If it's something that you like Southern Americana and it goes in your kitchen, you put it in there. It's not like you're going to be burning a cross that afternoon. And basically, what retail stuff, if you're a retailer, you buy stuff that's going to sell. If there are a contingent of people that are buying that, you know, if it doesn't sell, it doesn't sell.
Yeah, but
you don't sell it anymore.
You're going against your own arguments, because how many times have we said, yeah, they got to pull off the swastika off the Amazon site or whatever the fuck they were selling? How many times have we said, yeah, you can't sell that shit? I mean, it's the same.
You know what, though? On that, if there are people that are fit of World War II, where getting a Nazi, even though they don't have the ideology of it, they do, you know, they do like the flag, or the flag is...
No, I'm going to stop you right there. If you're buying a Nazi flag, you're an anti-Semite. You hate Jews, and I'm guessing you probably don't like black people.
That is not true. There are fans out there that like the uniforms and stuff, just for the aesthetic of the uniforms and stuff like
this
that.
This is not Comic-Con. This is not Comic-Con. 6 million people died during the Holocaust. Then you are a fan of people that tortured and killed other people, much like if you're a fan of slave owners, you're a fan of people.
But
that,
taking a point in history, if your interest is in a point of history. It's like if you make dioramas, okay? There's a lot of people that make dioramas, okay? And they'll have Nazi, they'll have the Americans going against the Nazi, have the Nazi flag and stuff like that. That's from a historical point.
You're not giving me a historical point.
The point of history.
You're not giving me a historical point with a mammy that was made in China in 2018. It's not a historical point. The Chinese just know we got racist here.
But if you're a point that you like to have a southern kitchen or have something set up like that, you know, who are you hurting by that? It's if it's for sale and that's your point of interest, you know, it's going to get to the point, Davin, where everything is going to be offensive to everybody and you can't sell anything to.
But I don't think this is that.
What if you see a tiny piece of art? And it's going to get to, well, that's offending the Chinese and blah, blah, blah. You know,
but here's the difference.
Everybody has their opinion.
A Chinese piece of art was made by a Chinese person. It's Chinese art. This was not made by black people. This was made by white. The original stuff was made by white people looking to keep the black person down. It wasn't like when they got home from picking the cotton, the black people made salt and pepper shakers to mock themselves.
Stuff that's been sold for years, and suddenly we're all upset about it. There's no end game.
But wait a minute. In this story, we have complaints from 2008, and we have a policy that says we will not sell racist stuff. So I'm just saying, get rid of the policy. Don't have the policy. If you want to sell racist shit, and don't act like you don't know about it. If you want to stand by, listen, if he feels the way you feel, that people can own it, have part of their house and there's nothing wrong with it, then he should say that. He should stand by it. At least you're standing by it. At least you have...
You are correct. If they should take a stand. If they've been complaining and they feel they have this policy, they should turn around and go, for the same reasons that I gave, why they should have it. Or if they're standing by that, yeah, then they should take the products out.
That's all I'm saying.
I think there's a problem. Yeah, all right, that's fine. I don't think there's a problem with those products. However, if they're going to stand behind it, they shouldn't sashay away from it.
Yeah, This guy's trying to have it both ways, which is why I would nail him to the wall on this shit. Guys, either stand by it and give the justification that Joe didn't, if that's the hill you want to die on or get elected on, if that's what your constituents want, so be it. But don't have the policy. If you're going to have the policy, you got to get rid of the shit. And don't act like you don't know about it. You've been hearing complaints for 12 fucking years. You know about the shit. Don't tell me you're doing audits when you're getting complaints. As soon as you get a complaint, you should sashay the manager of the store, of the mall, which happens, I guess, to be your wife. She should sashay her ass down there and do an audit. They're trying to have it both ways. That's my point. That's why this is not a cut and dry story. There's too much bullshit going on here. You know, listen.
I'll be frank with you. I do find it interesting that they had the audit. Now, did they have the audit, or are they going to have the audit?
No, it's part of their policy to do a routine audit. It's part of the... So, either they're not doing their audits, or they did the audit and said that's okay, and it goes against the policy. Either way, they are falling down on the job. Listen, a college friend of mine, me and my wife, I don't think we were married at the time, used to go and visit her down in South Jersey, and her father had a lot of this type of stuff around the house, and he seemed like a nice guy, but it was kind of weird even back then. I mean, we're talking about the late 90s. We're talking about like the mid to late 90s. Well, it was not the politically correct world we live in now, but even then I thought that was kind of weird. And I believe he kind of gave the same justification that Joe was giving. Well, I like this stuff. And then the question has to be, but why do you like it?
Yeah, why?
And if you're a fan of that period of time and you feel that that's your taste or whatever, you're free to feel that way.
Yeah, but I would want to know why are you? But it's such a heinous period of time. I would want to know why you're a fan of it. The same reason I'd want to know why people are a fan of the Nazis. I like the costumes. But are you familiar with what the people wearing the costumes did? This is what I need to know. Sure, the costumes look very snazzy. I'll give you that. But are you familiar with the shit they were doing? That's what I would need to know about. So I get why people would be offended. I get your point. Listen, man, I gotta tell you, if I'm running for Congress, I'm not having that shit in my business. And if that's what my constituents like, then I got some really shitty constituents, and I don't want to represent them in Congress. So this guy on some level stands behind it, and he should just own it. Pence should just own the shit already, and the people of the district will get to vote, and so be it.
Yeah, all right. That's fair enough.
All right. Anything to add, Pip, or shall I move on?
No, that's nothing earth-shaking. No.
Okay. All right. Now we'll put a Dem in the fire. We had a Republican in the fire. Now we'll put a Democrat in the fire.
You're equal opportunity here at the Dem.
I try. Seth Moulton, by the way, who I liked a lot. He's a military vet, and I liked it when he was running for office. He gained no traction, zero traction. But anyway, Seth Moulton, the Democratic congressman from Massachusetts, said, "We certainly have this perception in the Northeast that all the red states are getting what was coming to them because they refuse to follow these mandates, and they're playing politics with COVID-19 as cases continue to surge in a conservative-leaning states like Texas and Florida." He did not mention California, by the way, which is a very liberal state, which is having their own fucking problems. I hate when they do this. I hate when they try to make political points and they conveniently leave out like the opposite state, which is going through the same shit. Both sides do it. It fucking drives me nuts. But that just shows the dishonesty of the conversation and a lot of times. Representative Seth Moulton's comments came in a conversation on Monday with Amy McGrath, the Democrat who's running for the U.S. Senate in Kentucky, hosted by the 92nd Street Y. Ooh, they're big players there. A spokeswoman for McGrath's opponent in the race said... A spokeswoman. It's amazing the asses you have to kiss when you want to get elected. Anyway,
we're going to argue about it. Then we're going for a swim.
Have you been to the gym? It's very nice.
It's a place. You have a pool. at the weight.
Actually, I should step in here for a second and just say that the 92nd Street Y in New York has had a lot of lecture series, and they have had a lot of heavy hitters show up there. For some reason, that is a place to go when you're on the circuit.
All right. I hope you're happy that you added important context and ruined comedy.
Right. Yeah, it does have some semblance.
No, she added context. I appreciate the add of context. I do not appreciate the killing of comedy. I'm very mixed on that interjection by Pip. I'll get back to you after the show with notes. Anyway. Sorry. So it's a big deal. And Senator McGrath's a big deal. She's got a lot of money coming in from all over the country. This is not a Kentucky thing. A lot of people would like to see Mitch McConnell go down. Count me as one of them. Anyway, a spokeswoman for McGrath's opponent in the race, Senator Mitch McConnell, then tweeted a clip, Moulton's comments calling him out for his comments, and for McGrath's response, which she smiles and nods. By the way, I don't blame Mitch McConnell calling out Seth Moulton and everything, but don't tell me when you get confronted with a Donald Trump tweet that you're unaware of it. That's always the move. I have no idea. I don't pay attention to Trump's tweet. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Because as soon as he hits send, your fucking phone is ringing. Don't give me that shit. I got no problem with him calling out Seth McConnell and Seth Moulton and Amy McGrath.
You're discovering Mitch McConnell's a piece of shit. Wow.
Yes, this is news. This is news. You got me. Anyway,
how many times have I told you I think he's a piece of shit?
Well, then give some money to Amy McGrath. Anyway, we certainly have this perception in the Northeast that all the red states are getting what they I read that already. Moulton tweeted Friday that he does not believe that personally, but it is true that some people in blue states have that perception. Fucking again, stand by what you're saying, motherfucker. If it gets under some people's skin enough that they start wearing masks, it will literally save lives, with a link to a story by the Boston Herald, which earlier reported on his comments. McGrath responded to Moulton's comments in real time during the conversation, saying, "The unfortunate thing, particularly with states in the South, is that, as you said, Seth, this has become politicized. No matter whether you're red or blue, people do want to mitigate this coronavirus," she continued. Moulton's comments came as the United States has no unified strategy in slowing the virus spread, and sharp partisan divides exist over containment strategies. The virus earlier ravaged the Northeast and now has moved to other parts of the country. More than 155,000 Americans are now dead. Following their conversation, McConnell's press secretary tweeted the clip of Moulton saying red states had it coming to them, calling Moulton a liberal Dem. Well, yes. Michaela Johnson, like, out of all the things to say. All right, you got that. He's not arguing that. Michaela
Johnson.
Yeah. What'd you think I was running as, stupid? Anyway, Michaela Johnson's press secretary told CNN in a statement that McConnell's team was taking cheap shots with the tweet. This is a great example. All right. The conversation between Moulton and McGrath, both of whom formerly served as Marines, focused largely on leadership and comes as many Republican governors were slow to implement lockdowns and quicker to reopen during the coronavirus pandemic, following President Donald Trump's lead on virus response. All right. And we know all about Governor DeSantis, how much up Trump's ass he was, and how much he taunted New York and said they got this under control and strutted his stuff. We know the deal with Texas. They, too, thought this had this under control, and Abbott's had a backpedal on that. We all know the history there. All right. I'm going to own the shit. I'm going to do what Seth Moulton wouldn't do. Yeah. Yeah. And in some regards, they do have it coming. Now, that being said, not the innocent victims. Not the people who tried to do the right thing and tried to social distance and stay inside or were exposed through no fault of their own. Not those people. I feel no ill will, no malice. I feel sad that they died. But the fucking politicians that flaunted it and pretended this wasn't happening, the people that go around not wearing a mask on purpose, the people taunting the cashiers when they tell you to wear a mask, the preachers saying, oh, we're going to hold church inside anyway, and then they fucking die. Yeah, all those people, yeah, you got what you had coming. Seth Moulton can't fucking say it because he needs your vote. I don't need your fucking vote. And that doesn't make me happy to say it. But yeah, and I'm sure I'm not alone here in fucking saying it. And I'll tell you why. Because we lived through it. And you should have learned from us. You should have learned what New York had to go through. And we're still going through it in this fucking state. We're still walking around with 95 degrees with our fakakta masks on. Parties are still getting busted because there's too many people going to parties and getting sick. Yeah, it's a real fucking thing. And I'll tell you another thing. I was talking to a friend of mine who's a nurse. And you know how I told you this is going to come back, so enjoy us? Just so you know, she's a nurse in a hospital. She said you better start getting the toilet paper because the hospital is already starting to restock the supplies because they know it's coming back. And you know why it's coming back? A big reason why? Because a lot of the country doesn't take this shit seriously. So yeah, I get what fucking Seth Moulton is saying. Now that being said, Mitch McConnell a couple weeks ago apparently had a come-to-Jesus moment too, and now he started telling people to wear masks. But he wasn't doing this right away, and the junior senator from Kentucky, Rand Paul, he thinks the whole thing's a fucking hoax, and he infected a bunch of people, and he thinks Governor Cuomo should be impeached because a lot of people, senior citizens, died when he put them into the old age homes. Yeah, that was a fuck-up. That did not work out great, admittedly. And there's more to it than that. There's more nuance to it than that. But overall, New York has had this shit pretty well once we realized what the fuck we were dealing with. Everybody should have learned. There's so many people that did not have to die, did not have to get sick, do not have to have their lives altered, do not have to be grieving a loved one if you would just do basic shit. So I'll say it. Seth Moulton can't say it because he needs your vote and he's a liberal Democrat. I'm not a liberal Democrat. I'm just being fucking honest. Yeah, some of you motherfuckers did deserve it. Not the innocent people, but a pastor that goes, no, gather in, let's have the choir, let's have it inside, and then he dies. Yeah, Herman Cain, listen, I'm sorry the man fucking died, but you're going to go, oh, we're fed up of wearing masks. Well, now you don't have to wear a mask, you dumb motherfucker. You don't have to wear a mask wherever you're going because they don't put masks on corpses. So, yeah, I get it. Now you can all tell me what a piece of shit I am.
No, not really. I do feel that, you know, putting it down, you know, on the, you know, they get what they deserve, you know, because of the Republicans. My whole thing on this is, as an overview, we didn't, like I said, we came into this as a learning curve. New York has been the epicenter of this, so we've been at ground zero on this. The rest of the country didn't take it as serious because we weren't going through what we were going through. Now that we have learned a lot about this and where we're going with this, the key thing as the nation is to flatten the curve. Basically, in our neck of the woods, we are starting to have a resurgence of it. So we need to be vigilant in wearing masks, social distancing. If restaurants are set up, we have to, you know, get set up in a form where there is social distancing and there are barriers set up. With the schools, if the school can come up with a decent plan that's palatable, then they may want to give it a shot. It depends on the school district. The rest of the country should see what we're going through and see that there is a resurgence and be more vigilant with wearing masks and stuff like that. And the bottom line should be is that we got to stay vigilant with this till the curve is flattened.
Here's the problem with this. Here's the problem. COVID-19 never should have been politicized. It's a and I said this from day one. I said if anything was going to rally the country around President Trump, it would be something like this, because this is something where we should all go as Americans, as members of this planet, go, oh, fuck, this is bad. What do we have to do? Forget about red. Forget about blue. Let's all get on board and listen. But unfortunately, from the beginning, he made it out to be some plot to get him that was overblown, and just recently now, I guess yesterday, he sent out his first campaign email that says, I guess you should wear masks. He didn't have to do that.
What he should have done, is he should make a general statement. I'm going to bring up my staff. You bring up Mike Pence, or you bring up Fauci, or the other woman that was running. What was the other woman that was on that?
Burks.
I forgot her name.
Deborah Burks?
Burks.
Oh, he attacked her yesterday.
Yeah.
But still, you bring on either of them. All right, I got to grab a phone call. Have a great day. And walk the fuck out. He didn't have to sit up there and argue with the press. And that it was a major misstep, which put his foot in cow shit.
I just feel Senator Congressman Moulton was trying to be half pregnant. I mean, I listen. I understand why they can't why he can't fucking say, yeah, this is how we feel, this is how I feel, but you're a goddamn Marine. Own the fucking shit. If you're going to bring it out there, just own the shit. Go, listen, yeah, I just say what I said. I feel bad for the innocent people, but as far as the politicians and denied it, yeah, you're kind of getting what you're getting, because it's not like it was a surprise. It didn't sneak up behind you and tap you on the shoulder. Boo, COVID-19. No, you fucking saw it coming. You saw it coming for months. You could have prepared. You chose not to because you wanted to go on a fool's errand with the president. So I get it. I wish Moulton would be a little bit more fucking ballsy, but I'll fucking
well,
sit.
I think with the politicians is with and you got to hear me out. And for better or for worse, if you're a politician, you're always trying to play to your constituency. And if you have the COVID happening, you've got to close businesses. You've got to impede on people's rights, making them wear a mask and stuff like that. And for a lot of politicians, that is something they don't want to do. It's kind of political death on that. Should they make a major step and do it? Yeah, if it looks like it's going to be a problem, yeah. It's tough to take somebody that, you know, that is used to their freedoms and tell them that they could curtail that. And my whole thing going into that was, well, let's see where we go with this. I'm at the contention now that if I was president, and I said this last week, it would say, ladies and gentlemen, Joe Curry, the president of the United States. And it would start off with going, all right, look, we're wearing a mask, we're doing this, and we got to get this thing resolved. And we won't let up till the curve is flattened, because it's affecting the economy, it's affecting people's livelihoods and stuff like that, the school. You know, so we've learned a lot since March.
Well, apparently we haven't, Joe. Apparently we haven't, as our next story will dictate, which I'll move on to, unless Pip has something she wants to add. Otherwise, I will move on.
No, I just wanted to say that I don't feel good that people are dying of this. I'm not saying that that's what you said.
No, I didn't say that.
I almost see like some of the Facebook groups that I belong to that lean more liberal. I'm seeing a disturbing trend of seeing some people be like almost ha ha when somebody dies who was saying, you know, that they didn't believe in or they didn't, you know, want to wear a mask. You know, I don't think that we should be turning this way and being like, ha, good for you. You one of yours died. It's like, no, that's not the way we should be handling this.
No, it's
either.
It's not a good look. It's not a good look. But I do understand it.
Not only is it a good look. Basically, I am of the contention that due to Fox News, CNN, and that ilk, the New York Times, the New York Post, Facebook, Twitter, we've been put pretty much into teams. We're in teams now. Okay, it's more than ideology. We've just been manipulated by the media or by the way society is now, is that we're in teams.
But that's the problem, Joe. I get it with day-to-day politics. I get it. Are we doing trickle-down economics, or are we going to give the money to the poor? I get those arguments. It's a fucking virus. We've never politicized something like this before. This is a complete failure of our government and of our citizenry. We have fucking failed. I've never been more depressed to be a citizen of this country than I am now. When I have my friends from all over the world, and I have friends from all over the world who love this country, tell me that they pity us. They feel bad for it. We're the fucking United States of America.
I understand that, but due to the nature of our country, with our freedom and the freedom that we had and our right to make choices, rounding this up and infringing on that has been a rough sell. Now, listen to me.
Because we're selfish.
I'm just saying. I'm sorry?
I said because we're selfish. Because they've asked us to be Christian about this. Be my brother's keeper? Is that what it is? Be your brother's keeper. They've asked us to be our brother's keeper. That's what they've asked us to do. And so many of us are selfish, go, nah, my freedom, America, my freedom, I can't be bothered. Which means I don't give a shit about you. I don't give a shit whether you live or not because my freedom. We have failed.
But basically maybe we have. But basically, that's the reason why. You have a country that's used to being free and not being infringed upon, and with this, and that our generation has never, we never, our generation has never seen this before. This, the last time that something happened was 1917. Okay, so our generation doesn't know this. It's, you know, it's the same thing before 9/11. Okay, where there were rumblings that there were the terrorists were going to happen. We never.
No, that's not true, Joe, because in 90... True, because the World Trade Tower was bombed in the early 90s. We knew. We knew this was happening.
But still, we didn't see anything on that...
it was a new level, but it was still a failure.
And like I said, but still, we're talking about a country that has been left to our freedoms and the human element. Now, I'm not saying that people not wearing masks are right, and people are, oh, you're taking away my freedom. This is my opinion on how we got to this place right now and how we have to realize that we're going into a resurgence with this, and we really need to be vigilant till the curve is straightened out.
Well, I know how we got this way. Gerrymandering and money. That's how we got this way. And then you add the media elements where you have right-wing news and left-wing news and this one news, and it's not really news, but they have a blog.
It's all in the stew.
And listen, man, it's fucking embarrassing. This was the...
Let me ask you a question. In the countries that your friends live in and stuff like that, what's the media element there? Is the media element is a team divided as we are here?
That's a good question. You know what? I will have to pursue that. Now, you do have to keep in mind, Joe, they do get our news. They are more informed about America and our media than we are of theirs. But that's
right.
That's
looking at that. Are they looking at that going, these guys are assholes?
Well, here's what I can tell you. Here's what I can tell you. And I don't want to lay it all at the conservatives, but I'm going to do it. Our conservative party in this country is the only one that denies science. Now, you have conservatives in every country, every democracy has a conservative party and a more liberal party. We're the only ones that deny climate change and shit like that. We have science deniers, and now we have one that's a president, and now all the mouth breathers have a voice. That's the difference. Now, I should pursue the media question. It's very valid, and I am curious about that, and I will do that. But we also have a very... We put an impetus on being stupid. We value stupidity. We wear it as a badge of honor. We've talked about this before. You know, when I don't know something, I shut the fuck up and I try to hang out with people that do know stuff. I like to hang out with smart people. I don't need to be the smartest one in the room. I want to hang out with people like Pip's doctor, as an example, to go to earlier in the show. They're smarter than me, and they know how to convey it to me without me making me feel small, and I understand it. That's who I want to hang out with. I don't want to hang out with a bunch of morons, and we all pick our belly button and drink our Bud Light and go, wow, we're so fucking superior. And I don't want to hang out with liberal elites either that just look down their nose at everybody and can't relate to somebody who fucking sweats for a living. I don't want to hang out with those people either.
Well, yeah, and that's one of the things that, you know, I guess why we like doing the show is that we both, the three of us have our ideologies. But I think if we all were of the same ideology, to sit here for 3 hours and go, harumph, 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 you're right, harumph, harumph, boring as shit.
Well, then, you know, I'll give you an example of that. So I put up the poll question, which was about the first story we did, which was... about the dolls. It's like, with all the stories about the collectibles, all the stories going on, this is the most pressing issue. I'm like, well, we're an entertainment show. And, you know, and he gives like example. I go, well, I think it's more nuanced than that. And the show really works better if we don't all agree. And that story was. And then he gives me a story, I guess somewhere, some like Democrat was like a pedophile, sexually abused children or something. He sends me the story. I didn't really read it, to be honest. I read the headline. And then he went away to jail or something. And then the Democrats voted him in that state again for the state Senate. He's like, why don't you talk about this? You want to talk about this? I go, why would I talk about this? We would all agree. I don't think there's anybody on the show that would argue, no, they have a right to choose who they want. We would all fucking agree. It's horrible. What are you fucking thinking? Why are you putting this guy in office?
If we all agreed on shit, the show would be 20 minutes.
Exactly. I mean, you know, it was the same thing with Roy Moore when the Republicans put him up. I don't think anybody was saying Roy Moore is really a good fucking choice. I mean, there's only the point of contention that we talked about is, why is the president supporting this guy? Nobody was going, oh, wait, this accused pedophile with multiple accounts of being a pedophile in malls. Yes, this is a good choice. No, we all fucking agreed. It's fucking awful.
I know, like when you said, well, what do you think, Joe? I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a fucking nonsense.
I mean, it doesn't work if we all agree on shit. I'd like to think something. I mean, sometimes there's things that have been so horrible that I thought we'd all agree on, and we have not. So I'm never 100% sure, if I may be completely honest.
You gave your dissertation, and then you said, well, what do you think, Joe? And I'm like, no, I'm on board with that. I think maybe 90%, 95% I was on board with.
Right, well, that's
because that's what we just discussed.
Because the story had nuance. That's what made the story interesting. It had nuance to it, which we went over. But anyway, all right. So none of us are happy that people are dying. But we do, at least me and Pip to a degree, I don't know how Joe feels, but I think Joe agrees, there is a little bit of, well, we kind of fucking told you so, you know.
There is that point to it, because, I mean, when you have so many people saying, no, you're being stupid, my freedoms, I don't want to do this, and it's like, particular people who are, celebrants of a religion, and they're telling their whole flock, no, don't follow these protocols that they're suggesting to you, and then you catch it and die of it. It's like, there's a certain amount of I'm not happy those people died, but it's like, follow the science, follow the NIH and the CDC and, you know, what the couple of people that are allowed to speak to the government, for the government, and, you know, give ideas, like, you know, when Fauci is feeling unfettered and says, you know, listen, you gotta wear your mask. It's like, why is there this great push to, no, don't believe in these people? How many people have to die, you know, not following these rules before the rest of them go, you know, maybe we shouldn't run into the burning building. Let's wait and watch what the firemen do.
I will say this. If I wanted to gloat off COVID-19 deniers dying, if I wanted to do that, it could certainly be a recurring theme on this show. I don't think we've ever covered one of those stories where such and such sheriff or such and such religious figure denies COVID-19 and they die. It happens every week. I read them every week. So we're not relishing in it. We just want you to fucking get smart. That's what we want. All right.
One quick thing. We'll move on. Just to reiterate, basically, as we were progressing with this on the southern states and stuff like that, I was of the contention that, like I said, it was here, but where you guys are, it's not, and different parts of the country, you know, are reacting differently to it. Now that it's spreading and the infection rates are high, for them to sit there, I'm not wearing a mask, you are, and you got to flatten the curve, because it is traveling to the states and the infection rates are rising. So you know what? We're at the point right now where we got to do what we can to get rid of this thing, because you know what? Pretty much the whole damn country, pretty much the whole world has written off 2020. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
It's done. Whatever. All right? We need to get ready for 2021, and we need to get vigilant and be ready for 2021, because if we don't, and this continues into 2021, the country, pretty much the world, we're fucked.
You know what? You know how we 2020 has been so bad. We should ring in the new year with drunk Mariah Carey again. That's what we should. That's how we should ring in the new year. Drunk Mariah Carey stumbling around on the stage, forgetting the words. That's what 2020 fucking deserves as a send off.
There should be a little COVID figurine, and she like stumbles into it and knocks it off the stage and shit like that.
That's what the ball's going to be in Times Square. It's going to be a little fucking COVID thing coming down Times Square.
you know that's going to be fucking Photoshopped.
We should get on that immediately.
Yes.
Joe lost light. He has to clap. All right. Apparently he's clapping out of rhythm. All right. It's very funny if you're watching. Not so much if you're listening. All right. I'm going to move on. Joe got his lights on. Fantastic. A city of about 7,000 in rural region of western South Dakota is set to host what will likely be one of the largest gatherings the world has seen in months, as hundreds of thousands are expected to show up for the annual Sturgis Motorcycle Rally, even with coronavirus cases climbing in the state. The 80th annual Sturgis Motorcycle Rally will go on this year, bringing an expected crowd of around 250,000. The 10-day rally begins on Friday and has attracted as many as 600,000 visitors in the past. South Dakota, which is one of the nation's most sprawling and rural states, has largely avoided serious impacts from the coronavirus so far. But cases are on the rise, with last Wednesday's 149 new cases, the highest reported since May 9th. The state is home to several large Native American reservations, and the virus has taken a heavy toll on many reservations where it has spread. South Dakota doesn't have a mask mandate and is one of only two states that doesn't have any known government mask-wearing requirements in any circumstance, according to maskforall.com, which tracks mask-wearing requirements and advocates for mandates. Sturgis' economy relies tremendously on visitors coming for the rally, with the event alone providing much of the annual income for area campgrounds and vacation rentals. The city even has its own rally and events department. There was debate about whether there should be a rally this year, but city officials ultimately decided the event would go on after pressure from the business community. City-hosted events have been canceled, though, and the city has cut advertising for the rally. We lost Pip. Did you see that?
I'm here, but I lost power. So
Joe, you clapped her off the air. Joe clapped off your lights.
Yeah, Joe, clap like you mean it, Joe. I need my lights back on.
You look like an enemy on Star Trek. I feel like I'm sitting on the bridge.
Look at that. She's off in the distance. I see two lights in the fucking distance. It's coming at us.
Can you see me at all?
No.
Oh, God. Nothing?
Put your top on, woman.
Fucking thing. That's
hysterical.
All right.
I'll
try to identify you.
Is that a gallbladder I see there? All right, let me move on.
Yes. Oh, my God. It glows in the dark now. Shit. You know what? I have to step away from this to go get a candle.
Okay.
I'm listening.
All right. We'll continue. City-hosted events have been canceled, and the city has cut advertising for the rally. It's the biggest single event that's going on in the United States that didn't get canceled. Rod Woodruff, a local business owner, told the Associated Press, a lot of people think it's going to be bigger than ever. Do they? A survey found that 60% of the Sturgis residents wanted to see the rally postponed. So they surveyed the people who actually live in Sturgis, and 60% said nay. The rally goes all the way back to 1938.
I hate to interrupt you. 60% of the population that said no?
Yes. 60% of the people that lived in Sturgis said, we don't want to have it this year. Yeah. So anyway, all right.
I'm surprised that if so much of their revenue comes from it.
Well, here's the crazy thing about these motherfuckers. They want to live. They know they know they've been lucky. Here's the thing. You've got bikers from all over the country. Not all over the world, because nobody's flying here anymore. So all over the country, you have people coming from all over the country, traveling from infected areas through infected areas, and it's all landing on Sturgis. Yeah. Smart people don't want this shit there. I get it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
It seems very selfish of the business community. Listen, I understand, man. I get it. Your livelihood depends on it. Take out the fucking small business loan. You can't be doing this now. There's no man. It's not like we're going to be seeing Snake as one of Joe's favorite biker names. It's not like we're going to see Snake wearing a fucking mask at the biker bar socially distancing. We're not going to see any of that shit. They're all going to congregate. They're all going to be packed in. Oh, my God. She looks like fucking Poltergeist.
I'm listening.
Christ, she's never looked so hot. Anyway, I don't know. Are you aware of what's going on? And then what's going to happen is these people are going to go back to where they live, and they're going to spread the virus there too. This does not end well, I believe.
I don't think they should have it. I don't think they should have it. I think, you have a town that relies on, you know, the commerce from Sturgis. You also have 60% of the population saying that it's not a, you know, that they're against it. Bikers do what bikers want to do. You're not going to have the guy wear your mask. Boy, they're going to have a tough time getting the mask out of that guy's asshole. You know? I just think it should be like everything else this year, canceled. You know, it doesn't make sense to me. It goes back to what I was saying, for better or for worse. In that part of the country, there's two ways to look at this. Well, in that part of South Dakota, COVID is not that big there. So they don't think maybe they could chance it. You've got a lot of people coming into town, a lot more than the population of the town. Sturgis is a big deal. And then you have those people going back to where they came from. They're being foolish on this, and they should just be rescheduled. Like, is it fair? No. But everything else this year, nothing has been fair this year. Anything that you enjoy is canceled.
Except our show.
Except
our show, Joe. That rolls on.
That's the one constant, thank God. But still, you know, It doesn't make sense.
I think this is the type of shit Seth Moulton was talking about. This is exactly the type of shit that us are going to go, yeah, of course there's going to be an infection. Of course. You're not doing 250,000 COVID-19 tests and everybody's rolling in on their Harleys clean. It's just not happening. I feel bad.
The bars are going to be packed.
Yep.
Okay? The streets are packed with thousands of people. It's a main event. One thing is that maybe a lot of people are going, I'm not going, man. I don't want, you know, I'll wait till next year.
I hope they do.
We'll see what happens. Listen,
that's what we found that happened with Trump's rally in Tulsa. You know, he was promising over 100,000. He got 6,000. Why? Because people decided at the end of the day it's not worth dying for. Herman Cain wasn't one of those people, but a lot of other people decided it wasn't worth dying for.
Yeah.
You know, and that shows when you make those type of rational decisions with your health and your loved one's health, that gives me hope that, you know, we can all get along somehow. When you do shit like this, when the business community pushes for it, makes me think we're fucking lost. We just don't give a shit about each other. We just don't care. It's all about the mighty dollar. It's depressing. All right. We all agree on that.
In this case, yes, it is. Yes, it is. And like I said, it's like, you know, it's their season to do this, but it's just, you know, especially with 60% of the population of Sturgis saying that they're not really into this, you know, and there's a lot, it's a recipe for disaster.
All right, let's move on. Domino's in New Zealand has pulled a promotion offering free pizzas for great people named Karen following a backlash. The pizza chain launched a promotion in New Zealand and Australia earlier this week, saying all mask-wearing, law-abiding Karens that aren't, well, Karens, were eligible to enter online for a chance to win a free pizza. But after it received complaints that the promotion was insensitive, it pulled the offer from New Zealand and apologized in a Facebook post on Wednesday. In popular internet culture, the name Karen has become to be used as a pejorative term to refer to white women who are ignorant of their privilege and are offensive and entitled. It's a tough time to be a Karen, the chain said on social channels Tuesday, before offering free pizza to people named Karen who are not Karens. In a press release issued on Tuesday in Australia, Domino's said that the word had become quite the insult to anyone actually named Karen and synonymous with anyone who is entitled, selfish, and likes to complain. Well, today we're taking the name Karen back, the statement added, saying Domino's wanted to celebrate all the great Karens out there. However, the promotion prompted a flurry of response online from people who said Domino's had not hit the right tone and instead should focus on real minorities, the vulnerable and marginalized people. There's like a million people unemployed, one person tweeted. Another person said that they were genuinely marginalized people who should be recognized. This misses the mark completely. Give pizza to people in poverty, people who can't get a wage subsidy, people who are actually struggling, the person commented. In response, Domino's New Zealand apologized on Facebook, writing in a post, "We are sorry. Throughout the COVID-19, we've tried to bring a smile to customers' faces with our pizza and our social media." The chain said it decided to leave its post in the country because people interpreted this in different way than we intended. Our intention was one of inclusivity. Only our pizza brings people together. Not really. And we only had this at the, unless it's from New Yorkers, go nay, nay, we don't want it. Had this at the heart of the giveaway. We want you to know that we are always listening and learning, and when we get it wrong, we fix it. It said in the post. All right. Let's see. You know, and some people were upset that it went. Really, that's sad. I registered for free pizza. Can't believe people complained about this. I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to say the people who were complaining about this, they were real Karens about it.
Yeah, very good. I mean, look, it was a fun promotion. And they have to put out the statement that the lawyers, we're for inclusion, we're for that PU. It was a fun, lighthearted thing they were doing. You know, I mean, really.
Here's how you handle this. If I'm Domino's, I go, I hear you. We were going for a goof, but you raised some good points. We're going to continue our promotion, and we're going to be donating pizzas to homeless shelters or whatever. So you give back to people that are really in trouble, and you continue your promotion and go, listen, we're not caving in. It was a joke. Stop being such a Karen about it. That's how you handle it.
Right. But what happens is the lawyers come in. We have to be sensitive, and then they put it out. Your way would be the better way. It was lighthearted. They weren't trying to hurt anybody. And yeah, then send it to homeless shelters or whatnot, and do it that way. You know,
it's like again. I get that the thing missed the mark because there's bigger fish to fry. But again, the people complaining missed the mark because there's much greater injustices in the world too than to worry about what fucking Domino's is doing. Who the fuck cares what Domino's is doing? It's shite pizza on its best day.
Oh God, it was just
a harmless, fun promotion, and there's always got to be people out there that's like, they're getting a bigger piece of cake than me. Go fuck yourself. Be happy that anybody's getting any cake. I mean, why does there always have to be somebody that ruins everything?
Because they're Karens.
Thank you, Pip Helix. Live from the seance.
Yeah. Live from the seance. Love it. She's raising the...
I see the ghost of Karen's past.
She's raising the spirit of the Domino's Noid, which we have not seen in many years. That's what Pip is doing.
Oh, the Noid, yeah.
All right, so we all agree on this. They missed the mark. It was really an overreaction. They could have continued with it and done some good, too. But they folded like a cheap pizza.
Yes.
All right. Let's try to impart some knowledge now. Do a little bit of Scam Busters. Tell you about some COVID-19 scams, because I know these are going around here. Do some knowledge. Then we'll do a curmudgeonly philosophy, and then we'll get to scamming scammers. That's what's going to happen. The Federal Bureau of Investigation is warning the public about potential fraud schemes related to antibody tests for COVID-19. Scammers are marketing fraudulent and/or unapproved COVID-19 antibody tests, potentially providing false results. In addition, fraudsters are seeking to obtain individuals' personal information, names, dates of birth, social security numbers, etc., and the personal health information, including medical and/or private health insurance information, which can be used in future medical insurance or identity theft schemes. In response to the vast number of COVID-19 cases and an effort to return to a normal economy as soon as possible, researchers have been encouraged to devise testing methods that can be quickly and easily deployed to test large numbers of individuals for COVID-19 antibodies. However, not all COVID-19 antibody tests have been approved by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, and their efficacy has not been determined. The FBI warns the public to be aware of the following potential indicators of fraudulent activity. Claims of FDA approval for antibody testing that cannot be verified. Advertisements for antibody testing through social media platforms, email, telephone calls, online, or from unsolicited unknown sources. Marketers offering free COVID-19 antibody tests are providing incentives for undergoing testing. Individuals contacting you in person, phone, or email to tell you the government or government officials require you to take a COVID-19 antibody test. Practitioners offering to perform antibody tests for cash. The FBI recommends checking the FDA's website, fda.gov, for an updated list of approved antibody tests and testing companies. Consulting your primary care physician before undergoing any at-home antibody test. Using a known laboratory approved by your health insurance company to provide the antibody testing. Not sharing your personal or health information to anyone other than known and trusted medical professionals. Checking your medical bills and insurance explanation of benefits for any suspicious claims. And promptly reporting any errors to your health insurance provider. Following guidance and recommendations from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, and other trusted medical professionals. And they say if you believe you've been the victim of a COVID-19 fraud, you should immediately report to the National Center of Disaster Fraud Hotline, 866-720-5721. And that's justice.gov /disaster complaint form. Or, as usual, the FBI, ic3.gov. Or you could go to the FBI tips and you could call them at 1-800-CALL-FBI. I do not know anybody that's fallen victim to this. I do know it's going around. You know, I really don't have much to add to it. It's basically the same thing as always. If it sounds too good to be true, it is. They're going to pressure you that you should do this immediately. They see an opportunity. They know people are scared, so they're taking advantage. As always, call your doctor in this case. Call your doctor and go, listen, I got this phone call. If they insist that you have to, you know, respond right away, you know you got to run. Because that's what scams want to do. They want to force you to make that quick decision. Take a step back. Breathe. Call your medical professional. Except if it's my medical professional who doesn't know anything. But, you know.
Well, I got something to add. If you have elderly relatives, it is imperative that you get this information to them. The reason why is people in their late 70s, their 80s, their 90s, basically they come from a time when they got a phone call, and it really wasn't a scammer, or it was so obvious it was. And now you have so many sophisticated ways to scam people, and I know a couple of people that have elderly parents that, a man called and said that I'm overdrawn or that I'm very worried about it. You know, and it's bullshit. It's bullshit. And they have to be aware that if somebody calls and says, well, you need to have this or it's recommended, you need to question them, get their credentials, because people that are calling, there's a lot of scammers out now, and the elderly fall prey to this because they're used from a time where somebody called, and 90% of the time it was legit. It's maybe 10% of the time now. So if you have elderly relatives, it's imperative that you get this information to them.
Mm-hmm. That's why I did it. We did not go for the laughs on that one. Just thought it was some good information and people should know about it. All right, let's go for the laughs with a Pip Helix commercial.
You wondered about it. You waited for it. And now it's here. Curmudgeon Philosophy with Pip Helix.
All right, Pip, you have the floor.
Well, my curmudgeonly philosophy for this evening, and I really am enjoying the lighting effect that I've got with that music bumper. We should all learn from the horror movies and don't taunt the beast. And this works in all kinds of situations.
What a great background you have for this segment.
I know.
I think the beast is behind you.
Yeah. I think it might be.
Hey, wait a minute. That's not the beast.
I think it's coming.
Oh, no. That's wow, that's scary.
I think
Mr. Helix's ball. Mr. Helix's balls just hit inside his body after that.
They just crawled right back up there.
Miles away.
Don't taunt the beast. But really. Yeah, but and one of the reasons that this pops into mind for me is because of COVID, and we're talking about people not wearing masks. Now, here in this case, COVID is the beast. Now, if you're hearing people say, you know what, don't go in there without a mask because the beast is in there. No, I'll show you. Pussies, I'm going in there without a mask. These are the people that are dying. Don't fucking taunt the beast. Just don't go in. Or at least if you have to go in, wear a mask. I'm just saying. Come on, people. Don't show that you're the guy with the biggest balls in the room. You know what? Let the balls crawl back up into the cavity. Just when the beast is there. Just do it, please. I'm begging you. Stop showing off.
I support that. We know how I like to make fun of Joe, but if we're traveling and he's hungry, I don't say a word.
Yeah. something with the mask. I got to tell you, I would never be a good bank robber. I'm in the supermarket on Saturday. I've got my mask on. And I hear this woman call me, Joe? And I look, and she's wearing a mask. I go, I don't know. And I walk away. I go, was that my friend Denise? There was this girl, Denise, really sweet woman. She used to hang out with our crew, the old apartment crew at Anthony's. Years ago, I saw her. She came to one of my shows about 8 years ago, and it was the last time I saw her. And I go, was that Denise? I wrote her. I sent her a Facebook message. I go, Denise, I hope I'm not a nut. Was that you at Stop and Shop? She goes, yeah, I thought that might have been you. You know, and I go, oh, I'm sorry. It was, you know, with the mask, you can't tell, but apparently she could.
You're more distinctive than you think you are.
Yes.
Apparently I am, yes.
Pip, make sure you send me
apparently
this.
Apparently she doesn't listen to our show because she would know, don't taunt the Joe.
Don't taunt the Joe. Pip, make sure you send me this curmudgeonly philosophy when you give me the other stuff for tonight.
I will.
Yeah, I have nothing more to add. I think it's good. I think it's always good advice. Don't taunt the beast. It never ends well. I mean, that's why Florida is a state that continuously taunts the beast. So, I mean,
yes.
Don't be Florida. It never ends well. The dog's always going to bite you in the nuts. You're always going to fall off the hotel ledge if you lean too far. You know? You know, if you go looking for the tennis ball and the pile of bushes, it's going to be poison ivy. Don't taunt the beast.
Don't be Florida. I think that's not just a curmudgeonly philosophy. That's actually, religions are founded on less fruitful stuff.
Yeah, well, you know, listen, I feel you should all pray to me. Don't be Florida. All right. Good. Good, good, good. Let's take our last break of the evening and come back with some Carolyn and do some scamming scammers. All right, we'll be right back.